Siles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Simone behind the glass today, doing a great job as always. Had some music from the Friday soundtrack, last joiner. We see you working.
Thank you.
Okay, we see you working. We're keeping count, though. All right, I'm sure Nate's listening as well. It's a close battle. The show is young. The show is young. Three more hours with you, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Jason Aponte at 1 p.m. to talk some Niners as they get ready. They're still on their bird stretch as they get ready to take on the Cardinals. And the first time they will be seeing Kyler Murray this season. 916-339-1140. And Mike has been waiting through the break. Let's go to Mike, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mike? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I like the way Mike Brown's shaking things up, but he needs to shake them up a little bit more and get Harrison Barnes out of that starting lineup, too. Maybe it might motivate him. Maybe get Trey Lyles in there, give him some more minutes. But Harrison Barnes came out that first game, looked like a superstar, scoring 30-plus against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Hasn't done anything since. Every year he disappears.
Yeah.
Put him on the bench. And, I mean, they're talking about trades and things. Let's let the guys that are on the bench give them a shot before we start trading people. I mean, move Malik Monk in to the starting lineup, Harrison Barnes out, or Trey Lyles. Do something. Mix it up more because they got some players on that team, but they're just not getting an opportunity. And you got Harrison Barnes just taking minutes, empty minutes, because he's not giving you anything. He hasn't given you anything in a long time. He shows up every 15 games, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that'll motivate him to show up.
No, thanks for the call, Mike. And looking here at Harrison Barnes' minutes, okay, so the last time he played 30 minutes was against the Suns on December 8th. He was at 27 against the Nets. He was at 19 against the Clippers, which was obviously a blowout. And he was at 21 last night against the Thunder. I guess that's where I'm going with this, Chris, to kind of answer Mike's question is – we see what's happening. Andrew Wiggins benched over there in the Bay, and it's a thing. Once it's a thing, it's a thing. Is Mike Brown, do you have a problem with maybe Mike Brown doing it in a quieter way? And I'm of the mind, number one, to get to one of the options that Mike talked about, Mike Brown has already said Malik ain't getting in that starting lineup this season. As far as we know, every time it gets talked about, he says, Malik is our spark plug off the bench.
Right.
I'm not. Basically, he's told us, you know that Nick Saban meme, that Nick Saban video? I'm not doing it, so don't
quit
ask.
Asking.
So quit asking. Okay, that's what's going on with Mike Brown and Malik Monk. He is not going to be in that starting lineup, at least as of December 15th at 11:03. He continues to tell us in the media when we ask him.
Yeah.
Now, for the other players, which we've talked about Trey Lyles, we've talked about Sasha Vezenkov, we've talked about it. The question is it an optics thing, and does it really matter if Harrison Barnes is starting? Is he that much of a negative to where let's make it a thing and put him on the bench? Or if it's just saying the quiet part out loud and taking away his minutes? And he's done the same thing Coach Mike Brown has done with Kevin Huerter, right? When Kevin Herter's not playing well. So does it have to be an official, hey, we're benching you, you're coming off the bench, and we're inserting somebody else? Or if it's, hey, we're doing it a little bit in a quieter way, your numbers or your minutes are going down. You know that. I know that.
Yeah.
And those who are really paying deep attention know that.
Yeah.
But we're not going to make a thing out of it. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I'm starting to fall a little bit. I understand why. I don't disagree with Trey Lyles being inserted with that lineup. Mm-hmm. The starting lineup is kind of a thing that, again, it's talked about a lot. How much does starting lineups really matter? I'm increasingly, as the years go on and on, I'm becoming more and more of the people who just scream that starting lineups don't matter. It's about who finishes. And really, I mean, I think that this starting lineup is the perfect example of it because the closing lineup is so fluid. We talked about it yesterday with Kevin Herter's spot. It really is the closing, who ends the game when the game is on the line, truly, when the game is being decided. That lineup is super fluid. It can be
because it was. I think Harrison did
I think he finished last night, but it can be Trey Lyles if Trey has it going. We've seen Sasha Vezenkov close in lineups. We've seen Malik Monk instead of Kevin Huerter. We've even seen Monk and Huerter instead of Keegan Murray. So like that, it really does depend on who's closing that game or on who's playing well during that game to dictate who finishes. Now, to go back to the starting lineup, the reason why I say starting lineup kind of doesn't matter, or at least Harrison's inclusion into it, is because the lineup actually is a really, really productive lineup. And I can understand why maybe somebody out there might say, well, if it's so productive with Harrison, imagine how it would be with a player who's actually doing something. But sometimes you just got to rock with what's working. And, you know, just because you have more stars or more talent on the floor doesn't necessarily mean it's going to equal production. And there's actually numbers to back this up. They do five-man lineups on NBA.com where you can see how much those lineups play together, how effective it is, how many points they score. And the Kings' most effective lineup in terms of plus-minus, like a lineup that actually gets significant play time, is that starting lineup. And it's a plus 3.5, which means when they're on the floor, they typically average to score about 4 points more than the opponents. That's their best lineup that they throw out there. So it makes a ton of sense to start the game with that lineup, especially with the pieces, for the most part, making sense and creating a lineup that's pretty versatile. I think it's fine because, to me, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of starting off strong. And the Kings really have started off strong this year. They honestly fall off in the second quarter when that second unit comes in.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but wouldn't you say that that point differential is a little unfair because they play the most together, that starting lineup?
I mean, if anything, it gives it more chance to even out, I would say. Like, them playing so much time together, you have the biggest sample size.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that, I mean, yeah, like, if you don't play, like, I mean, I would say that tells me that more times than not, they're coming out ahead in those minutes. And I mean, yeah, that's what I'm taking from it.
Yeah, I think where I'm at with this is, number one, we talked about Keon Ellis being the fourth or fifth option when offensively,
when he's on the floor.
That's also Harrison Barnes. And a couple games ago, there were some good questions asked to Mike Brown about Harrison Barnes, and he said, we don't draw plays for Harrison Barnes. Yep. He just plays within. Now, when you talk about rebounds and other things that Harrison could be a part
of,
sure. But as it pertains to scoring, that's not really Harrison's thing, right? That's not really why he's in there. You know, he's going to get about 3 to 4 3-point attempts a game within the flow of the offense, right? But you like to see him have more rebounds. I get it.
I think last night's a good example of like exactly what you're hoping from Harrison in terms of, he didn't score, but in that fourth quarter, you remember those two huge offensive rebounds?
Right.
That's where like Harrison Barnes can show his value more times than not. And that's where I'll push and go for everybody who's saying, Harrison Barnes, because we don't see that enough. Again, if you're not scoring, and the same thing can be said about Kevin Huerter. Absolutely. I know we keep teasing that we're going to talk about Kevin Huerter, but the same thing can be said. If you're not hitting shots, that doesn't mean that we don't have to notice you. You can still get rebounds. Mm-hmm. You can get assists. You can just do hustle plays.
Yeah.
I mean, the only specific play we've talked about Keon Ellis today is a defensive play in which he got a deflection and then dove for the loose ball.
Right.
You can be effective and have impact without scoring, and I think that's where the frustration comes with Harrison. But again, you have to acknowledge on a night like last night, like those two offensive rebounds were huge.
Yeah.
And granted, if that's the only thing you do, maybe that's not good enough. But that's just an example of how Harrison, at points, even if it doesn't look like or feel like he's adding value to the team, those are the kind of things that he can bring to the table.
No, and it's about timing.
And I'm not saying he does that more times than not.
No, but I think I'm with you when you talk about Kevin Huerter, because I would say I'm coming down Kevin Herter's road as much as I'm coming down Harrison Barnes' road right now. Yeah. If we're talking about removing Harrison Barnes from the starting lineup, then we need to talk about Kevin Huerter.
Totally. Absolutely.
So I'm not saying to not talk about Harrison Barnes. Yeah. I'm saying that Harrison Barnes can become somewhat of a scapegoat.
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
And he's never going to – the random Jazz game. I need to go back and look at those highlights to see how he even was able to do that. Because I don't even know how he was able to do that. That's not why Harrison Barnes is in the game. Now, if you think he needs to be whatever his role is better,
yeah.
sure. But this idea that he's going to turn into a completely different yeah. player, that's not going to be it. And to me, I'm coming down Kevin Herter's road just totally. Like I'm coming down Harrison Barnes. And to be honest, Coach Mike Brown is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing.
Again,
he had
how do
20
they talk?
Minutes.
They talk with their minutes.
He had 20 minutes yesterday. Okay.
Keon played more than him.
Right. Keon played more than him
Malik,
against the Pelicans.
Trey Lyles pretty much played the same minutes.
December
as those guys.
4th was the last time Kevin Herter has played more than 20 minutes. He played exactly 20 minutes last night. And this is, listen to Kevin Herter. This is your shooter. Okay. Kevin Herter, I would call. We're calling Harrison Barnes a fifth option yeah. offensively. Now, you got to do other things in that. Harrison and is a better defender than Kevin Herter. Yep. Now, what would you call Kevin Herter? Okay, Keegan, when he's got it going, that starting lineup, Kevin Herter's 2A, 2B with Keegan. Or 3A, 3A, 3B.
Yeah.
3A, 3B, right? Depending on – one of y'all got to be the third option on that starting lineup because it's obviously Fox and then Sabonis. This is Kevin Herter's points the last – 4 games, okay? Against the Suns, he had 1.
Yeah, not great.
Against the Nets, he had 6. Mm. Against the Clippers, he had 3. Against the Thunder, he had 4. So I need the same energy for Kevin Herter yeah. as Harrison Barnes.
Shooting 19% from the field, 20% from 3 in his last 4 games.
But as you said, they're a plus 3.5 as a starting lineup.
Yeah.
So he could leave it, but it should not be Harrison's got to get out of there, yeah. but Kevin Herter's cool.
Right.
That's probably where I would say you need to talk about both of them.
Yeah.
Because I think Sasha Vezenkov could give you more than Kevin Herter right now. And I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to stand on business.
Yeah. No.
I'm riding for Sasha. Not because he's left-handed.
Yeah.
But it does help.
I'm going to try to not overreact to Keon. I've been a big fan of him. But I do think that if Keon can, obviously he's not going to put up 17 a game. But if he can consistently get near double digits, if he can mm-hmm. get 8 or 12 points a game and hit a 3 or 2 every other game, I think that maybe that makes Kevin Herter's value, his likelihood to be moved. And you brought up a name like Thabo Sefolosha. If Mike Brown's going to be adamant that Malik Monk stays on the bench, mm-hmm. I could see a move where, yeah, they move on from Kevin Herter and maybe Davion Mitchell and put Keon Ellis in the starting lineup and treat him like a Andre wow. Robertson, like a wow. Like those kind of Thabo Sefoloshas where, yeah, I mean, is he really a starter quality guy? Probably not, but with the lineup, it might make some sense. It really might. I could see Keon being semi-productive with that starting unit. He's just got to be playing like he played last night and, continue to build on his confidence.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are talking Kings and why they seem to be a bad matchup for the Thunder. And who else are the Kings bad matchups for? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins. Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Talking Kings. See, when you win, even when you win, isn't this nice? When you got these expectations, even when you win, you want to be better, okay? And maybe part
Never
of that is
settle.
Because you've already beaten, the Kings have already beaten the Thunder. Maybe that's why, because I like the vibe of our callers and listeners today. They're not settling. You're right, Chris.
Yeah.
They are not settling as we take you up to 2 p.m. I got to say, though, we've been talking about the game, and we'll get into the Jake Fisher Yahoo Sports article. But you do have to take time to smell the roses and enjoy these victories, especially in the NBA, because they are tough.
Right.
And we got a tough stretch coming up.
And the next game just comes so fast that it's almost
yes.
like you forget. I mean, by Monday, we're going to completely forget that De'Aaron had a 40-point game.
A 40-burger, right? And look, I know the Jazz, they got Markkanen. A lot of people want Markkanen. That's
yeah.
a name that's getting hot. But don't sleep on the Jazz, because they just beat somebody a couple games ago who was pretty decent. So cannot look forward. I'm going to be honest. I think you can sleep on the Wizards, and we'll talk on Monday
yeah.
about the Wizards. But you can't take any team for granted. But I got to say, Simone, you've been doing a great job. I do have a job for you, though, okay?
What do you got?
Because Malik Monk, okay, when uh-huh. he was doing his thing on this crossover on the wing three, I said that he had this brother playing Dance Dance Revolution. I need you to find the Dance Dance Revolution sound at some point.
I got
because
you.
I don't know, we yeah. were talking about Christmas presents for the years that I was 10 years old and when Chris was 10 in our crosstalk with Jason Ross. And I don't know how many people out there played Dance Dance Revolution, but Ooh. Malik Monk had him dancing. Yeah. And then he hit the three. I mean, it's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah. You gotta love it when a highlight comes together.
His bag He is a walking highlight.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling, Chris.
The human highlight. Really.
I'm struggling to pick a favorite king because I want it to be De'Aaron.
Right.
But Malik is
he's just always doing something
makes me feel like he's got to be the one right now. He's dunking.
Yep.
He's blocking. He's dancing.
How about that?
That block was crazy.
DPOG.
DPOG, and just, I mean, we were talking about And1. My name was A Sizzle back in the day, seventh grade. A Sizzle was out there doing the slip and slide. Here we go. That's right.
Yeah, it was super techno. I do remember
He had him. Yeah. Malik had him going left, right, side to side, left, right. He had him on expert. Yep.
Oh,
and he failed. He lost that
the
dollar.
The double feet where you had to do the one in front and the one
exactly
in back.
The double feet. Yeah, you got a tink. Okay. Yeah. He had him all over the place. He lost that dollar. That was game over. Yeah. Then Malik hits the three. You talk about the electricity, and I do think that there's a difference. Okay. Thank you, Simone.
Okay,
there's definitely
that was too official. That was way too official.
I remember that level, by the way. I failed that level, too, just like my man's. Because when you look at Malik, I think that on every team, there's the leader, and then there's the guy who it just is more exciting.
Right.
I think on
the spirit animal.
You know what's a tough one? As we talk Niners a little bit later in the show with Jason Aponte, I would say it's tough with the Niners because it's Debo, but is it Debo or Kittle?
Right.
I think that's a tough one too. But on this team, when Malik Monk gets it going, the whole arena, everybody is just it's must see television. Yeah. It is pay-per-view, it is box office, not to be Stephen A, but it's ridiculous,
box
man.
Box office.
It's box office. This brother can play. Okay, so I just you can't let him walk.
Yeah.
I say all that to say he's got to stay.
You got to do everything you can to
care.
Keep this man in the building.
I don't care.
He's so important to this team, and I don't know. Whatever. You can say it's a contract year, and that's why he's balling out so much. But, I mean, even last year in the playoffs, it was clear he was this team's second-best option with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine how this team would look without him. Like, it does feel like, I mean, definitely without De'Aaron, this team is not even close to the same caliber. But it does feel like if you lose Malik Monk, that's just such a huge spark that you can't replicate. Like you said, like it's just his energy's infectious. His plays create momentum. Like those are the kind of guys that you can't put a dollar figure on. You can't put a stat that shows what Malik truly brings to the game. Because like you said, it feels like he's a force multiplier where you know, he gets on the court, he starts making people dance, he starts getting those blocks. I mean, what happened right after that block, right? They go right down the court, Keon hits a corner three, and the momentum is completely shifted, the crowd's going crazy now, OKC's got to call a timeout. Those are the kind of plays that swings playoff games. That can, I mean, Malik's got the type of ability to swing a playoff series just by getting hot for two games. He's incredible, and the Kings have to do everything they can to keep him. And I would imagine, I mean, it seems like Malik's fairly happy. He gets to hang out with his guy, De'Aaron Fox. The Kings have shown nothing but love to him. I think he appreciates Mike Brown and just how he's being coached, and Mike Brown's always championing him. I think it's a perfect marriage, and I can't believe that the Kings are the team that actually swooped him up and took advantage, because Malik was just an asset that was out there, and the Lakers, I know the Lakers wish they could have re-signed him. Right. They just didn't have the funds to do it. And shout out Monty McNair for just hopping on that opportunity. And, I mean, Malik has just made the most out of it, too.
Yeah, well, I think at that point, you know, he was just starting to turn his the idea of him as a professional basketball player and not at Kentucky anymore. I think his perception was starting to change, but maybe the Lakers thought, we don't know. It's still a little bit early. We don't know which Malik, can the real Malik Monk please stand up? Well, he stood up in Sacramento and he's continuing to stand up. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Spencer, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Spencer? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey guys, how's it going? Great topic today. And I got to tell you, you know, when I watch basketball, and I've been watching the Kings for, you know, over 30 years.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing is that when a guy comes into a game, all right, do you get excited when that guy comes in because of whatever he brings, whether it be energy, whether it be scoring, whether it be just chutzpah of some level.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk, I like him on the floor with I don't care what lineup. I want Malik Monk. I get excited when he comes in. The way I liked, and I don't know how far you guys go back, but when Bobby Jackson would come in the game,
yep.
I absolutely always loved Bobby Jackson. Always. Because, you know, he may not always shoot the best, but you were going to get a guy who was going to fight, who was going to ball, who was never going to back down. And that Malik Monk gives me that same feeling. When that guy comes on the floor, I'm always excited. And that's it. That to me is a player that the Kings have to keep because he represents the underdog baller guy. Right. And that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks absolutely. For the call, Spencer. No, I think that's a great call as well. Shout out Bobby Jackson.
Shout out Bobby Jackson. And by the way, what did Bobby Jackson do when he was here that Malik should probably be following in his footsteps? Sixth man of the year, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got that same kind of energy. I mean, it's definitely a comparison I've thought about before, the Bobby Jackson and Malik Monk thing. They do really similar things. And same with Bobby Jackson. Bobby definitely, I know for a fact, Bobby felt like he could have started on those teams or started for a handful of teams in the NBA at that time. But, you know, it's about understanding how you can maximize your value and your worth. And I think, you know, it's also a huge credit to Malik, who I haven't heard Malik say a peep about having an issue coming off the bench for this Kings team. Not once. I'm sure he would love to start. I'm sure he definitely feels like he should start or could start for a majority of teams, but he's just accepted his role and he's thrived in it. He has not complained once, and he's established himself as the handful of guys who are going to be in the competition for sixth man of the year every single year.
Well, I'm looking here, and this is what gets me going, man, because we just talked about the MVP ladder, how De'Aaron is in the top 15,
yeah.
right? And when I say top 15, he's at the back end of that. He is just it literally
like
just says last five.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here. This is from DraftKings. This is as of December 12th, and you got Austin Reeves with the best odds. After that is Tim Hardaway Jr.
Austin Reeves just moved to the bench, by the way.
This is absurd.
Like, literally just moved to the bench.
This is absurd now. Okay, so it's Austin Reeves. He's that great story from the Lakers. Enough.
Yeah.
All right, I know you like
Austin
Reeves. And enough now. Tim Hardaway Jr., I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch a ton of Mavericks basketball, so I just have to do that.
I think he's leading the league in points per game off the bench.
Emmanuel Quickley. Okay, but he is nice.
He's fine.
He is nice, but
he's just a scorer, though. I feel like that's the thing that Malik that doesn't get talked about at all. We see the highlight plays, we see the dunks, we see all that stuff. He might even see a block or two. Nobody ever talks about the assists outside of Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best two-man player in the league. All right,
I think so.
He is.
Yeah.
And half the time,
making JaVale look great.
I was going to say he's going to catch a stray here, but he can't even. He's getting JaVale.
He's getting them going.
But JaVale is one of the best
lob threats,
and pick and roll guys from the center position as well. So that's top three. Then you have the surprise of, you know, the surprise team in the East, the Orlando Magic. You have Cole Anthony with the fourth best odds right now to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Okay.
And right? But Malik Monk at five? Really?
That's nuts.
Really?
Yeah, I'm about to go back to Vegas if that's the case.
I'm
gonna go over to Vegas and
because that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, that's insane. I mean, I just don't understand because you got it all. You got the Kings are successful. He did this last year, so he's already a name that's been brought up in this conversation.
Yeah,
Mike Brown campaigning for him almost weekly now, where he's like, Malik Monk is in the sixth.
I didn't know he wasn't even in the top three.
That's crazy. And then I'm pretty sure he's got to be leading everybody off the bench in assists per game, with the exception of Chris Paul. He's been terrific this year. I mean, he's at five assists per game, just under 15 points per game. And yeah, he's done it for a team that's the top five seed in the West. Like,
yeah.
I think he's checking all the boxes. And
he's got the dunk of the year.
In the
first game.
The first game, he's got the highlight.
Put some respect on Malik Monk's name.
Come on.
This is enough.
Come on.
When my friend went to BravoCon, she did put some money down on Malik Monk getting that sixth man.
Get in line.
I know.
Your boy saw the future. Don't call me that so raving.
Just my friend, yeah.
Gotta get to a break. When we get back, we will talk about Jake Fisher's article. Do you want Zach LaVine? We will make the argument why you just might. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento on the floor. Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, Sabonis, and Sabonis with a flush. The assist coming from Malik Monk once again. And Malik Monk, now I believe that's his sixth assist of the first half to go with 10 points. And Sabonis now has 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. There he is, that bad man playing the two-man game better than anyone else in the league right now, Malik Monk. He can really do it all as we take you up to 2 p.m. And yeah, when you win, it makes you ask questions. When you lose, it makes you ask questions. They're just different questions. And the question now, as Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports has just put out an article, is where do you think the Kings should fit within all of this trade madness? And I really hope a lot of things happen because this feels like a season where things will happen because the West is a mess. But how many times do we sit here and do this and nobody does anything?
Yeah, too many times. Way too many times.
So hopefully something
looking
actually
at you,
happens.
Masai.
Yeah, Masai. Enough is enough.
Come
let,
on.
Let him go free.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what you want. Well, actually, I do know what you want. And if you're just now joining
us,
yeah, if you're just now joining us, the question ultimately is when you look at this Kings team, I know what you might have those purple glasses on after a win like last night where they beat the Thunder, the 2 seed in the West. Do you try to get better? And what Jake Fisher is reporting is that Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby is probably going to cost the Kings Keegan Murray, along with others. So people that are saying, just let Harrison Barnes go. Oh, no, he gone too. He would be gone too, but that ain't enough. Okay, they're going to want something else. They are going to want Keegan Murray as far as the Raptors. I think the argument is, and Chris, you can speak to this just about as well as anybody, is as far as Zach LaVine is concerned, although don't love that contract.
Right.
Because of that contract, the Bulls might be more willing to take on other players because the appetite for Zach LaVine isn't as high as they thought because
right.
It's a bad contract, right? Not that the Kings want to take on a bad contract, but you'd have him locked in, okay, and he's a guy that can do some things. And most importantly, out of those three, might be the most interesting fit. Doesn't really help you defensively, helps you offensively. We'll get into why in just a second, but you get to keep Keegan.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you have to decide what's most important. As we said in our Kings roundtable with Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, the Kings might stand pat and do nothing. But if you are going to do something this season, unless, and the whole Lauri Markkanen thing, how do we know that the Jazz aren't going to want
right.
Keegan as well?
Yeah.
So where do you fall on this with after reading this Jake Fisher article?
Yeah, I think the LaVine thing I'm still not super interested in, but it's honestly, and I think I've been consistent with this, like if it means that you can get in on Alex Caruso or maybe a guy like Patrick Williams, I'm a lot more willing to have those conversations. And, you know, the Zach LaVine fiddle would be an interesting one. Let's just say for hypothetical, you have to trade Harrison and Kevin Huerter and we'll say Davion Mitchell to get Zach LaVine, and we'll just say Patrick Williams. You could probably get a first-round pick if you really wanted to. It'd probably be protected, but I feel like the Kings would be better off trying to get one of the Bulls' young assets instead of a first-round pick. Because like you said, with LaVine getting paid so much, it's kind of one of those situations like Bradley Beal or there's been others in the past where you have to attach a first-round pick because you're almost doing that team a favor.
Right.
I think Andrew Wiggins was a similar thing, right? I think
right.
The Warriors got a first-round pick when they traded for Andrew Wiggins. So it can be the case like that with LaVine as well. He's all right. Like I don't know if he's changing this Kings team to a championship contender, and that's kind of the problem is – if you're going to make a big swing for a guy like LaVine, then you're trading off Harrison and Kevin Huerter and potentially Davion Mitchell, there's not really a pivot from there if it doesn't work out. That's kind of the only thing, because LaVine is a guy who you pointed it out. He needs the ball in his hands a lot, and I'm not saying the Kings couldn't use one more of those guys, but feels like he just wouldn't provide exactly – it wouldn't be a good enough fit to give up all the assets that you're giving up specifically for him. I think there's guys out there that are the juice, might be worth that squeeze. But in my opinion, I don't think Pascal Siakam is a guy who's he's almost borderline worth the squeeze. But I don't think OG is a guy who's worth Keegan Murray. And I definitely don't think Zach LaVine is a guy who I would personally give up a ton of assets to just to try and get the talent that is Zach over here.
Yeah.
It's an okay, like, he's a really talented player, and I feel like they could make it work, but if you're out there looking for the perfect guy, I think he's pretty far from it.
What I struggle with, and yeah, I think you probably want to keep Keegan, but what I struggle with is looking at Keegan and looking at a ceiling. Now, De'Aaron Fox is only 25, right? He's going to be here for a long time. So when you say, if someone were to say, not that Keegan is untouchable, that Keegan is untouchable in for these deals, right? You don't like him for these deals. Are we hoping that, what, I don't know, in 3 years, Keegan is the full-blown second option? I guess I'm just not really sure what we think Keegan's ceiling is. I know we all think it's high,
right?
But I don't know how high.
Because that determines how untouchable he is, right? Is how good you think he can be. Because what you don't want is to be like the Warriors, where they're overvaluing Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, and they're like, well, I don't want to move these guys for Bradley Beal because we think he could be good. Well, maybe, you know, Bradley Beal is also pretty good right here, right now.
Exactly.
Like, and Jonathan Kuminga will never be, or at this moment in time,
seem like
isn't
it.
Going to be at that level. So are you really holding on to this guy just because, you know, just because he's young and the potential of what he could be? It's like there's a Family Guy skit where it's like, you can either have this boat or I can give you this box, this mystery box. And you're like, oh my gosh, the mystery box, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could even be a boat.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah. Or you could just take the boat.
Right. You already have a boat.
Exactly. So I don't know. I feel like Keegan Murray I feel like he can be the number two scorer. I am concerned though. I mean, the workload that they tried to throw on him this season to start this year clearly was too much for him. I mean, his shooting percentages say that. He took massive leap on the defensive end, but I think it's clear that he can't right here, right now, in this moment, you know, be the guy who's got the ball in his hand and is a secondary playmaker and or can create his own shot. I think we're seeing steps along the way, but it's not going to be a overnight change for Keegan. So, I don't know. I do wonder if we are overvaluing him, but I think you kind of have to after the rookie year he had. I mean, he hit 200 threes. He shot over 40%, 6'8", 6'9". Like, those guys don't just come into the league every single year. And so I understand why you'd feel like it's got to be a really, really bona fide, solidified guy that you trade him for, because it's just the potential of what. It's not even the high end. It's just he could be a really good fit in just about any lineup. Mm-hmm. And that versatility is something that, again, you can't really put a value on it, or you can't put a direct value on it. I just think that if you're moving on from Keegan, it's got to be for a guy who's a bona fide star.
I'd rather take on a bad contract and move off of Herter and Harrison Barnes and take LaVine and see if it works than move.
That's all in,
right?
At that point,
right? But I'd rather do that than.
No, I'm saying all in if you trade Keegan.
That's what I'm saying. You get to hold on if you are able to hold on. And this is all according to Jake Fisher, of Yahoo Sports. If you are able to hold on to Keegan, but you're kind of in cap, HE double hockey sticks for the next couple years, I would take that over moving off of Keegan for. Here's the question, and Zach LaVine, for those wondering, is 28 years old, okay? So he's not 30 yet. He's just now hitting his prime. And we know he can dunk the basketball, and he can shoot the basketball too.
Sure can.
So when I look at these lineups, right, I'm willing to be in a tough spot cap-wise to start a lineup. You replace what? You essentially replace Harrison Barnes and, well, because
Kevin Herter.
And Kevin Herter. Yeah. So what does that start? Whatever that starting lineup looks like, I think you'd be okay versus, okay, whatever you got to move, you know Masai wants to give up a lot. What the heck does that lineup look like with no Keegan Murray? And probably you might get
somebody
to keep either
either
Harrison or Herter. So one of them.
Right.
So let's say Harrison goes, right? And you keep Herter. So that lineup now is De'Aaron, Sabonis, Herter, OG, okay?
Yep.
And who's
and
left?
Sabonis,
No, I said Sabonis. So Sabonis, OG, De'Aaron,
Herter.
Herter, who's fifth?
Keon Ellis it could be. It,
that's not winning a championship.
Yeah, no, it's not. It could be.
And you just lost your
Harrison
young stud.
Barnes, I guess.
Right?
Right, yeah.
No, Harrison's gone.
Harrison's gone. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, Harrison's gone. So yeah, that, I mean, that lineup tough, is not.
I mean, yeah, you can't. There's no way the Kings could trade both of their forwards either in that kind of deal. Like, it would almost have to be Keegan and Kevin. Because you can't lose your only forward depth, right? Like, yeah, I mean, which kind of complicates it even further. It's like, I mean, that just makes the trade options even smaller for a potential Raptors move. Because, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense if the Kings are still putting themselves in a position to win this year. You're going to need forward depth. You're going to have the similar problem
that you had before. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul at that point. And that's not what anybody wants to do. I think there is a it's basketball related, but I think it is a little bit, I guess from a societal standpoint and from a culture standpoint, I don't think the Kings can afford, and I have to go there. I don't think the Kings can afford to give up another young stud and maybe he pops somewhere else.
Right. There's also that.
You can't do that.
It's a good point.
You already got one in Indiana.
It's a good point. Because then it's more doubling down in that sense where
exactly.
It's like this really has to work because now, like you're saying, you've got two young stars or young potential stars in two different locations that you could easily say, well, you know, in 3 years you could just say, oh, the Kings could have had De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Haliburton,
can't
and Keegan Murray, and look at where they're at now. Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah, because you don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
Enough with Tyrese.
No, it's bad.
You don't want to throw Keegan onto that equation.
It's bad. So,
and that's probably what the Raptors are going to ask for too is Keegan and Kevin, because that team needs shooting like a camel needs water.
Mm-hmm.
They have an excess of guys who are 6'8", 6'7", with long wingspans, but they just have no shooting. And
Scotty
so
Barnes.
I would imagine if they're making a deal with the Kings, they're going to say, hey, y'all have way too many shooters. Mm-hmm. Give us some of those.
Well, I think when you put it like that, I wouldn't be surprised if the Kings don't do anything.
No. Yeah. I think that's why they have it.
Right. It's these same names that have been recycled. Somebody's going to overpay.
Yep.
Right. And Masai's going to get what he wants.
Golden State's looking
real desperate. It's the desperation station out there in the Bay. All right. Got to get to a break. Klay Thompson's a pretty good shooter.
Andrew Wiggins is from Canada.
You can still take. Wiggins to the bench. What about bringing Andrew Wiggins over here to Sacramento?
Nah, he's going to Canada.
I'm going home. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation about Keegan, De'Aaron Fox, and this Sacramento Kings team taking on the Jazz tomorrow night. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Got Simone behind the glass today, doing a great job for us on a Friday fun day. Hopefully it's a payday Friday for some of y'all out there. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. Did I see it's going to rain this weekend? Did I see that correctly?
Yes.
See, I'm out on that. Now I'm trying to be in a good mood.
I didn't know that.
We got This Is How We Do It going, and it's going to rain.
Guys, are you guys doing fantasy quarterfinals this week?
I'm done. I'm in the.
You're done?
I'm in the, what's it called?
When you've already.
Please don't say toilet bowl.
I'm in the. I'm playing, but it's not for anything. It's over because of your boy, Justin Jefferson. So I'm in the consolation.
Wow.
Quarterfinal. And of course, I'm going to win that one.
I got CMC. I'm going for it.
Good.
I have to. So
sending
I will be,
good vibes your way.
Thank you. I'll just be totally tied up inside, I guess, once it's raining. And
well, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
I'm in a or disgusting amount of leagues.
Fire wings, perhaps.
I just had fire wings last weekend, actually. I think it was last Friday.
What flavor?
I wanted to try out the chicken sandwich. So I got the chicken sandwich, and then I did the buffalo chicken fries.
Okay.
Ooh, banging.
Really?
Banging. So
I haven't gone with the specialty fries yet over there.
You should.
Okay.
I almost got barbecue because they were making that look good, too, but
I don't believe in barbecue wings.
I don't believe in barbecue wings, but if it was boneless in a fry situation, I think it would be different. That's like rodeo fries.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's rodeo. Like some dirty fries.
But I only eat it with a cowboy hat on. It's the only way
some boots.
I can eat rodeo fries. As we have a little bit of NBA news for you today, Ja Morant is eligible to be back from his suspension on next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday. So that means, if you're wondering how it affects the Kings, that means as we go through the schedule, I don't know if you have any plans for New Year's Eve,
oh boy,
but the Kings do. The Kings will be in Memphis facing off against Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, the lowly Grizzlies,
yikes,
as they try to climb their way out. Okay, I don't know if there are any mountain climbers here, but it's probably, you probably got an easier go than what the Grizzlies are going to have to do in the West. But they're going to – that a mountain lion. Be careful for those while you're mountain climbing, by the way. So they're going to come hungry, right? You have Desmond Bane, who's been balling, injured recently, but he's been balling. Yeah. And
Jaren Jackson.
Jaren Jackson. So got to be on the lookout for them, as this West, again, is no joke. Now, you have a ways to go before then. Yeah. You get the – obviously, you have the Jazz, the Wizards, the Celtics, the Suns, the Timberwolves, the Blazers, the Hawks, and then the Grizzlies. But New Year's Eve, will there be a – New Year's beam.
Whoa. There's got to be.
There's got
to
be.
They have to make that happen. Oh
they have
gosh.
To, now There's that I think about
no
it.
No better way to ring in the new year than with the beam.
That's
absolutely
right.
That's incredible. They should almost, if they do win, they should wait until midnight to light the beam. That'd be unfortunate because someone would probably have to hang out at the arena.
You just, didn't then. You say that there
I
was
think it
a,
turns
a rule?
Off. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a rule for the planes?
Yeah, I don't think that's actually true.
I think it probably is.
I don't think so.
It
planes
sounds
don't
true.
Fly over Golden
that
One
beam
Center.
Is bright, man.
It is bright. It's definitely bright.
Let me tell you, you can't see it from a plane. I've gone twice
yeah,
now.
You can.
No, I haven't.
Maybe if
Vivek
you're descending.
Posted a picture from a plane from the plane.
He might have said, "Hey,
the
drop
PJ
it down lower.
Gets a little bit
yeah.
closer."
Yeah, I can do a little yeah. bit. I can. He can say how
it's
high.
Very,
he wants
I feel like
to go.
You could see it.
It's
you
very
can see
faint.
Golden One
it's very faint. Just a touch.
Did you see it this year, or was this
yeah.
last year's beam?
Portland when I was coming back from Portland? Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't
Maybe it was
as strong
a foggy
because
day.
It was a.
Might have been a foggy day.
That was a rough wind,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Last night you would have seen it. Last night you would have seen it as we talk all things Kings and Thunder and trades, because when you win, you have questions, and when you lose, you have questions. It's just a matter of what the questions will be. So, again, after a night like last night and what we've seen from Keegan, he's starting to cook up. He's starting to get in his bag. You know, it was a name that we brought up and CK916 brings up on the Sack Chat. I don't know why, quote, everyone is afraid to move Malik to the starting lineup. Other people can pick up the slack. It's not everyone. I think a lot of us would love to see it. It's just Mike Brown. Mike Brown, in the buck stops with him. He says that's what he wants, right? That's what he wants at this point in time, to continue riding the way they've been riding. And I think it's an interesting question when you get into next season. Here's my thing about Malik Monk starting as a whole, not just the rest of the season. My thing with Malik Monk is, if I'm Malik Monk, which I'm not, and sure, we haven't really heard him allude to anything. He hasn't really rocked the boat, but coming off the bench for a team that, hey, we're running it back, we got to the Western Conference Finals, or we got further than we got last season, so we're going to continue to improve, that's different. I think it's all based on what they do this season. If they have a nice deep run, I think you can sell Malik on, you are the sixth man for a team
right.
that is at the top of the West. If you go out in the first round or something like that,
yeah.
what am I coming off the bench for?
Right. Yeah, no, he's gonna really reevaluate his yeah. options, I think. I mean, because, you know, depending on how good statistically of a season he's going to have, which he's on pace to have a terrific one, people are going to throw him crazy money. And mm-hmm. I do think that there's going to be a handful of teams, probably teams worse than the Kings out there, that are going to throw him starting a starting role. And mm-hmm. he's going to have to make that decision of, you know, the Kings might be able to offer him the most money of anybody. I think they can offer him up to $17 million for next year's contract and, you know, escalate it from there. You know, it's going to be dependent on what Malik wants out of his career, and that's totally up to yeah. him. Like, if he wants to take another risk on – he already took a risk on himself coming here to Sacramento and trying to see if it was going to work. He could take another risk and say, hey, I think I've proven enough that I am of a starter quality – I came into the league with a lot of hype. I would like to try and, you know, live up to that hype and be a starter and see what kind of player I could be. I wouldn't blame him. I don't know if that situation's ever going to pan out here in Sacramento. I think as long as De'Aaron, wow. I think as long as De'Aaron and Sabonis are on
you
the floor.
You never told me this before, Chris. You can't drop this on me on a Friday.
I've said this. I've said I don't
no,
think
you
that
didn't say
he
this.
Would ever be in the starting lineup. I mean, I Chris. Think he wants to be in the starting lineup. I think he could be in the starting Chris. Lineup, but I just don't I think he's
wow.
Mike Brown just likes him too much as a six man. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
You don't think We got to get to a break. Now we got to get to a break, and we will continue this conversation with Malik Monk being a part of the starting lineup or not. Will it be in Sacramento? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.